Venue for the kiddies church, just here at the top. So just note that it's not our usual venue, but we are using it this morning as we are fewer kids here over the holiday time. So it is officially holiday for the kids. Audrey, not for you. Talking about all the nice summer things that we are doing, and you are sitting here thinking, you know, what's happening? It's at least we've seen you guys in Italy. That's amazing. You are setting the standard. It's really beautiful. Alexa, you and your amazing expedition. We are really excited about what God is doing. So this morning, I want to talk about unified strength, and I believe that it's just a summary of what God is doing this year in us and through us and around us and in our lives and in our family lives and in our workplace. So please bear with us as we speak about a principle that I believe God wants to address. Just looking at the news these days, it's quite interesting to see. And some of you, even over the last 2.5 years, have asked a few questions about what's going on in England or in the UK at this stage. You know, you are asking yourself, you know, where is this heading? And why are we struggling to get back to the nation that that God wants this nation to be, a world changer, a force to be reckoned with, and I believe that there's a redemptive calling upon this nation that God wants to restore, that God wants to really bless. And this morning, if you are sitting here and you are even not from this nation, then I want to say to you, you are here because God brought you here. And in doing so, God wants you to also be part of what He's doing in this country. And it's amazing to see what God is doing. I'm looking at the news and I'm realizing that I think it's more pivotal than we would recognize. But one thing that we do recognize at this stage is we've got a divided country. And that it's not just a divided country, but it's a divided culture. It's a divided tradition that we've established for ourselves, because even our families are divided. And we, at this stage, you know, are at the verge of breakthrough as a nation as well. But we need to actually trust God to take us through these seasons. And one thing that I do know is we must pray for this nation very hard. Chrissy, you must help us to get this right. Chrissy always coordinates our intercession as well. But we must pray for this nation. And I've realized that one of the main strategies of the enemy, once again, is to divide and conquer. That if he can divide a nation, he can, you know, get inroads into a country like ours, and he can divide families and communities. And as I said to you as well, talking to the Merton general manager of this area, he said to us, the biggest challenge that they have is that communities are divided. And how do we get communities back once again? And I want to talk about that this morning because it's so crucial in the Bible. In biblical context, it was so important for the Holy Spirit to operate in an environment where there was unity. I want to talk about a few of those principles this morning. Let's start with Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Now, before I read that, I might just say this. Unity in the Greek is to mutually agree, to enter a consistent group feeling with one mind and purpose in mind, a harmony that leads to action. So we see a lot of action happening all over the world, and with social media these days, it's not even difficult to get people to campaign. We see it now all over in Malaysia and, you know, in so many countries, I saw even in Russia, they've got now communities standing up against the regime. And at this stage, I can just say to you, it is not difficult to get people focused around a fleshly cause these days. So I'm not talking about being unified in the flesh, because it's quite easy to, in fleshly works these days, with all the marketing that we see that's happening around us to get people mobilized around a cause. I mean, animal life, I'm talking about, you know, gender issues, I'm talking about whatever issues. But one thing that I do know is that we as Christians must take something out of this, and that is that God wants to unite us in the vision that He's given us. Acts 2 verse 1 to 6. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speaking in his own language. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Simple. Simplicity. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So distortion breaks the power and also the power to rule. And one thing that I do believe that, you know, God is challenging us at this time as well to realize that no nation is at a place where they can say it's not going to happen to us. If I look back at the Persians, I look back at even the Romans and Italy as we know it today, all of those regimes, all of those nations, all of those big, you know, power based, you know, rulers came to an end. And yet today we as a nation here in the UK must tell ourselves that even though this nation has a redemptive calling, it must be humble enough to admit that it must come closer to God. And that it must bow its knee to the King of all kings. Now the first thing about unity that I want to talk about this morning is we must be a praying unit. Acts 4 verse 24, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They did not splash apart. This was a scripture that you all know was after they received a good hiding, because they proclaimed the name of Jesus, and they were said not to talk about the name of Jesus anymore. And yet they didn't scatter away and run away into different areas of the community. They came together, and the immediate response was to get together and to pray and trust God to unify them around His purposes. The unity factor was not in the things that they did, but in the purposes of God being established in their hearts together as they started to pray together. And I want to say to you, personal quiet time is amazing and it's so necessary, and we need to get into our inner rooms more. We need to trust God to become a prayer unit by praying in the inner room. But it's as important to get collectively together to proclaim the purposes of God together. And that's why four things happen when we start to pray together. The first one is that we actually get more bolder because God's word gets confirmed through other people in our lives. So I want to say to you, it's amazing that you are praying, and I want you to pray more. But start to pray together with people that you trust, in your small group, in this church, people, your family, people that you can trust so that they can start to confirm the things that God is saying in our lives. I love, you know, weekly on Thursdays, I've got a friend that phones me and we just talk a lot of nonsense. It's good to talk nonsense and from time to time as well. He's in South Africa and we talk over the phone. And what's amazing is that I can share my heart's content with him, and I can also allow him to share his dreams and where God is heading with him, and we can confirm in one another's lives what we see. So sometimes it's harsh words, saying, yes, you're a little bit in la-la land now. Let's just get a reality check here. You know, let's just get consistent with what God is doing in your life right now and what he has done in the past. I know you. I've seen how God operates in your life. And there's certain patterns that God always works in your life. So, Hercules, let's just talk about where God is in all of your circumstances. Those moments are so precious because we need collective prayer as a unit in order to confirm what God is doing in our lives. The second thing about prayer as a unit is that we do not have to wonder if the word is of God when we pray collectively together, because God confirms it among us. We don't need to be in doubt. We can have direction in Christ that leads us. The third thing is we are lifted together. No one remains behind. When we pray together, God allows all of us on different pages, on different stages of growth, to come together and to follow him wholeheartedly and to be lifted together and to fight the battle together for the Lord. And then fourthly, we make room for accountability to each other. Listen to verse 29 of chapter 4. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of the Lord with boldness. They asked and they received. Two or more were gathered together and they received the purposes of God, and it was not about themselves and their own agendas, but about the agenda of God. And so they did not pray about personal problems, and there's a place for that. I want to say this morning, there's a place, and small group is for me such a beautiful place where we can, week after week, listen to one another's stories, listen to what's happening in our lives, and we start to pray and trust God for breakthroughs in one another's lives. And then this place where they were in one accord was a place where they could experience the kingdom of God first. And God added everything unto them. And this is quite a challenging theme this morning. I want to say to you, God is so committed to you personally. And next week I want to encourage you to be here, because Chrissy is going to speak about that. How much he is committed to us. Chrissy? That's what you said, eh? He's so committed to us personally. But the place of unity that I'm talking about this morning is a place where we seek together collectively the purposes of God, and we come to a place where he can bring us to see his kingdom first. And add everything that we need, that is maybe not what we want, but what we need, unto us. There is a place where we need to stand in faith together for flowing in the Spirit together. And I want to encourage you. I think I do it not enough. I've thought of it last night again. As a family, we don't do it often enough. We need to actually sit more, even though sometimes it's those moments of awkward silence where you sit together with somebody else and you guys don't know what to pray and how to pray. It's beautiful to, at Master Prayer this week, just listen to the stories of the giants of the faith telling, listen, You know, when I started off 2 minutes, you know, I prayed 2 minutes and then I thought, you know, I've prayed so much, you know, how much time did go past? And it, looking at her watch, she said, okay, only 2 minutes, I still have an hour left. And all of us start at that place where we start to draw into God's presence. And we start to pray more and we start to collectively trust God for more. But I want to encourage you this morning. If you have a household, my challenge to you this morning is, are you praying together enough? Personal prayer is amazing and I don't want to stop that. But I want to challenge you this morning in saying that where there's unity, amazing things happen. And God wants to bring you to a place where you can actually see mighty things happen in your family if you just start to pray together as a family and get into the rhythm of flowing in the Spirit together. And I'm challenging myself with this. I know that, you know, we do our little prayers just before we go to bed together as a family, but we need to draw into the Spirit more. And I want to challenge you with the same. I want to say to you in the small group, it's time to get into the rhythm of even flowing together with other people in the Spirit. Even those awkward, silent moments when you don't know what to pray and yet you wait upon the Lord. Get to a place where you can hear God's purposes together. Remember, God adds divine connections in our lives for a season such as this. Secondly, is unity brings boldness. I've seen it here in the UK, you know, over and over again. Did you see the youth when they get together, how bold they are? how they would do anything when they fire one another up in the background, and they will even challenge a policeman if they have the backing of their friends. I don't know about you, but I've even seen some people being very strong when they are sitting in their cars driving by and, you know, hooting when you just want to turn the wrong way. But they won't do that in your face. But one thing that I can say to you is we get very strong when we have the backing of other people in our lives. My challenge to you this morning is, as a unit, a prayer unit, as a body, we need to get to a place where we can back one another and know what God is saying to us collectively. After they had prayed, he gave them great boldness to preach. Listen to this, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. There's a place of unity that God wants to challenge us with. To encourage each other courageously to do it for God and not for people. Remember years ago, I have a friend, Kobus Versace, he was a prop for the Springboks, the South African rugby team. And he said to me when I was complaining about my workspace and not getting such opposition, he said to me, the only reason why you have opposition is because you didn't get enough people saved around you to stand with you for the cause of Christ in your workplace. My challenge to you are the same. Is if you want unity, you need other people to be unified with around the cause and purposes of Christ. And yes, here in this body, in this family, we will always stand together. We will trust God. It was beautiful, the message that God has given us through Margot the last week, in that we are in the middle of a plain, of a field, and we must stick together. And people in the forest along that is looking from the outside to see what we are doing, because they will respond because of our actions. And I want to say to you, you know, clinging together in times like this is special when we see other people fulfilling and the purposes of God together with us, being unified in the values of the people that are running the race with us. Our norms and values are determined by the unity of values that the community in which we are agree upon. This is also how culture originates. Therefore, you know, we validate our individual efforts even through the collective norms and values that we embrace as a body. We've been speaking about it a lot the last year. What are the values that we embrace together in order to fulfill the purposes of Christ? Because in that, we unify and we see the breakthrough that Christ wants to bring in our lives. When we believe together, the God-given unit brings about that the Holy Spirit shakes buildings and heals people. Thirdly, one heart and soul. Verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Of one heart in Greek means to be synchronized or be set, be tuned like a radio. One heart being connected to what God, the purposes of God in all of our hearts. C.S. Lewis wrote this. Friendship arises out of mere companionship when two or more of the companions discover that they have in common some insight which the others do not share and which, till that moment, each believed to be his own unique treasure or burden. Mm. But it must overlap somewhere. Listen to this, C.S. Lewis as well. It is when two such persons discover one another, whether with immense difficulties and semi-articulate fumblings or with what would seem to us amazing and elliptical, they share their vision. It is then that friendship is born, and instantly they stand together in an immense solitude. Jesus journeyed with his disciples. And I was, thinking about it so many times in the past. You know, was it fair to expect of them to go all the way to the cross? In the friendship that Jesus had with them, none of them made it to the end to take the journey all the way to the end with him. And surely we know that there's God's providence in the apostles being raised for the last days. But one thing that I do know is all of them experienced the backlash of decisions that Jesus made. And as they walked together in this purpose to fulfill the will of the Father, they experienced a lot of hardship. This synchronizing in a vision, in a purpose together, brings us to breathe together, the Greek says. It's one soul, mind, will, and emotions. This means everything that your flesh does is dominated by the unity of God between us. Now, I want to re-emphasize this morning. There's a lot of fleshly standing together that happens that is not of God. So when I say this, I want to say to you, being focus on the purposes of God means that we do God's will, being in step with His purposes, whatever the Father wants us to do. You know, it's beautiful to listen to the intercession team praying and asking me, what are you preaching about this morning? We just want to know, you know, did either you heard wrong or we heard wrong? That's how we as a body function, as we hear things together, what God wants to do in and through our lives. So, unity in the flesh is possible, but God wants us to be in the Spirit. Number four, that everything in common. Acts 4, verse 33 to 35. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and bought the proceeds of that which was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. I'm not saying this morning you should sell your stuff. Please keep whatever you have. We're not going to take a collection afterwards, so relax now. That's not what the pastor is saying. What I'm saying is the heart behind it, to carry the burden together. And being unified in the Spirit means that we carry all. That we walk together. And when I say this morning, I'm so aware of the fact that I'm talking about church and church context here, but I'm talking about the circumstances in a nation that needs to come back to the purposes of God for this season as well. I'm so aware of the fact that, it's so easy to fall in the trap of each one fulfilling their own dreams, visions. And if I look at the politicians, this is exactly where we are at. Each one has their own opinion and they want to follow that opinion, and it's getting worse. And it's not just the UK, I can tell you, it's all over the world. But one thing that I do know is that's not the culture that Christ wants us to embrace. It's a culture of collective understanding that we carry this burden together. We should not divide. We should not come to a place where we have so strong opinions that we divide people from ourselves and don't understand what God wants to do in this nation even. God wants to get serious about the need of the household of faith. Galatians 6 verse 10. So then as we have opportunity, let us also do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Look after the people who are in need. And I want to encourage you. You know, it's so beautiful to see faithful people that do give toward BodyServe, for instance, that looks after those who are in need in this body. And then number five, interwoven in our gifts is the contribution of all. I'm not going to read 1 Corinthians 12 again. We've done it a few months ago, but 1 Corinthians 12, speaking about the gifts and each one of us making a contribution. So when we want to find unity, we should allow everyone as a culture to fulfill their purpose that God has set in their lives. No selfishness in achieving our own potential, but the benefit of the body as a whole. And then number six, unity brings blessings. We all know this scripture, but it's so beautiful. Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. God is in the presence of his children's togetherness. Now I want to end off in just saying, you know, for us as a body, as maybe a small household in the bigger body of Christ, and for me it's evident that Christ is pulling us all together in his kingdom. God is expecting of us even to reach out to the rest of the body. And I'm so amazed. You know, last weekend with James here, it was so beautiful to see a man that is so in sync with what God is doing in our household. So in sync in where God is taking us and journeying with us, but also with them. And I want to say to you, the first thing about why unity gets to happen, or the unity gets to not happen, is the one of a lack of adherence to the unity in the body, which means that it's much greater than we are. But if we don't have a desire to see that happen, You know, I want to say this morning, and it became a cliche actually in kingdom circles, that we say kingdom first. But I want to say to you, it's really a time where we should seek our brothers and sisters who are proclaiming the gospel of God at this time and run with them and to take hands and to see what God is doing. And then, secondly, it's not happening because of isolation. Don't allow people to speak in your life. The kind of things that... you don't allow people to speak into your life. You feel, mind my own business. Please don't interfere in my life. And so, fear of living in the light. You're ashamed of your past and you live in darkness. And that isolation hinders you to find unity. And then number three, forgiveness. We spoke about it last week as well. I want to mention it again, Luke 17:3. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And for me, this is such a beautiful scripture because in the light of unity, we are often afraid to address issues in one another's lives because that might hinder unity. And yet Jesus was always open to speak right into his disciples' lives, so that they could come to a place of repentance, of forgiving, and to restore the unity among them. Number four is about breaking the unity is pride. You do not want to identify with the simplicity of others' faith, a stage of growth. Sometimes, you know, we are so proud of where we are at with Christ, that we don't see how other people are busy growing and growing into God's purposes for their lives. And unity, you know, only finds place among us when we start to see where other people around us are at and help them to fulfill their God-given purpose as well. God resists the proud and uplifts the humble. Number five, submission to leadership. And, you know, this morning I want to say to you, for me, even in this country, it's so important that we get to a place where we start to understand what it means to submit to leadership and have at least a reference and a understanding of what it means that when God appoints leaders, we must pray for them more. We must stand in the gap for them more. We must trust God to encircle them with his angels. And we're going to end off today by praying for this nation. I want to trust God that, you know, we're not going to keep on criticizing, because the culture that we are in always criticize rather than to understand that if we want to unify a nation again, we must start to surround our leaders with the prayer and the purposes of God. If God could autopilot great men like Cyrus around his purposes, he can do it with any leader in this nation. But we must stop criticizing and stop, you know, analyzing the leaders and disqualify or qualify them according to their skillfulness and their abilities. And we must realize that God appoints every leader, Romans 13. And because of that, we need to pray for our leaders. And I want to say to you, you know, I'm more committed than ever to say that this society needs Jesus desperately. But the church needs to lead the way. There's only one answer to the mess that we are in at this stage, and that is Jesus. I mean, people can deny that, they can do whatever they want, but we are clearly not in paradise. And there's a solution that we can bring to the table as the church to say we are going to stop dividing and start to unify. We are going to pray for our leaders. We're going to pray, and we're going to start with the church. We're going to pray for the leaders of this church. We're going to pray for our small group leaders. We're going to pray for our leaders at work. And we're going to trust God for great breakthroughs. Some of the most amazing stories that I have in my life is when I prayed for leaders that were set over me and see how God changed their lives because of it, when I prayed for them. I want to say to you this morning, you will always have people ruling over you. That's God's order, and He's very clear that He wants us to embrace that order. But you know what? The beautiful thing of it is when it gets to unity and it gets to Him fulfilling His purposes, it's around not our actions even as much as it is around God's heartbeat. Do you know what God's heartbeat is for this nation? Do you know, have you prayed any day for Brexit and what's happening in our nation at this stage? And the consequences of the big decisions that our leaders are making. And I'm not condemning you this morning, because I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you. Because I realize that we've become, in our culture, as bad as Christians. Always criticizing and forgetting that God has a purpose for this nation and He's going to fulfill it. He always had. Clearly He has used that in the past. And as we enter into a time of, you know, even trusting God for you know, the kind of unity in the church that, and I'm talking about the church collectively in Wimbledon, in London, as God is busy drawing His church together, I can tell you the first step that we can do is at least as a little body come to live by the principles of God. Paul said to Timothy, about Timothy, that they had the same attitude, like-mindedness. Philippians 2, 19-20. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by your news. For I have no one like him will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Let's just quickly stand. As we're going to pray now, you know, I know that God is God is on a roll. He's doing awesome things despite of us. You know, we in some ways don't even, as a church, get it right at this stage. But one thing that I do know is He is passionate about His church, and He's passionate about this country. He's passionate about us as individuals. But last week for me was this beautiful picture when the leaders of this church, you know, came to me and said, "Listen, we're going to fast and pray for a day because we want to see breakthroughs for this church." And, you know, just listening to the feedback during the day as people prayed and the leaders prayed and they brought words and, you know, we discussed it the evening. It was just amazing to hear the heartbeat of God among us. The fact that when unity gets established around the purposes of God, God operates. And my challenge to you this morning is that every day will be like that. Place where we can, when I find, you know, difficulty in my circumstances at work, I can call up my friends, say, "Listen, pray with me for the purposes of God, because clearly in isolation I'm not going to see it. I need your input in my life. I need to walk and journey with people around me to fulfill the purposes of God." Let's bow our heads. Father, as we pray for this nation at a time of division, and Father God, it looks like a new season even, Father God, and yet it can be the same old, same old. Because political answers will not bring us to safety. Political answers will not drive us home. Oh God, but this morning we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we bring our leaders of this country to you. We ask that you will unify this country again. You will unify, Father God, our communities again, that you will restore each one of our communities in the UK. Father God, I pray for a covering over this nation. Father, at this time, we are, Father God, at such a pivotal time of change, but yet we also know that it's an exciting time if we allow ourselves to get onto your page. And this morning, we thank you for the unity that you've brought in this house, Father God, and that we can partner and journey together. It's beautiful to see it, Father God, and it's beautiful to see what you are busy establishing as a culture in this church, Father, to see your purposes being fulfilled. Thank you that last week, Father God, we could experience just worshiping together and trusting you for breakthroughs. Father, I pray for the leadership team. I pray that you will come and surround them with your direction and your insight, Father, concerning even where we are going as a family. But Father, I want to pray for, even above that, Father God, for a fragile nation. I pray for Boris Johnson, Father God, and just what he represents, Father God, to us at this time, Father God, a regime change, but also, Father, such a time where you can actually bring about change. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will cover him as a leader, that you will give him godly insight. That Father, above of all of our opinions at this time, I know that we here in the UK have lots of great and amazing opinions about everything. And this morning we lay it down. And Father, loving him or not loving him, Father God, we know this morning that you've called us to pray for our Prime Minister. And I want to pray, Father, that you will give him such godly insight that he will do exactly what you've orchestrated for this country. I pray that he will be autopilot, Father God, in driving this plan and purpose of yours exactly as you predestined it. And we ask you in Jesus' name, speak to your children, Father God. Speak to your church. Let it become relevant again, Father God, to have a voice in this nation where it can fulfill your purposes and can pray and speak your purposes into fruition. We pray this morning as well that you will unify the body, Father God, that is committed to the true gospel. And Father, we ask that you will draw them together, Father, to pray more for this nation than ever before. I pray, Father, that you will lead us into a time, Father, where we will see mighty exploits happen, Father God, in our societies, in our communities, in our household. We are trusting you to once again pray, Father God, for purposes around your agenda. Not our personal issues, Father, our everyday issues, but I pray, Father, that your agenda will become our priority again. I pray, Father God, that you will teach us as a church, because we don't get it right at this stage, to in our families start to pray and flow in the Spirit more regularly. To Father God, to pray more into the purposes of Christ and to see the breakthroughs. I pray, Father God, that we will not live a la-la land life, Father, where we think it's just going to happen. I pray that, Father God, you will lead us to a place where we will practically set time aside to make you the priority in our households, so that we will be unified around the purposes of Christ again. I pray, Father God, that you will clearly speak to each one of us.
As we come to you this morning, Father God, I pray that we will hear your voice clearly. It will be confirmed by people around us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to end off this morning. And you know, I know that you're here this morning and maybe you are just two in a household. Maybe you're even just one in a household. Then I want you to feel embraced in this family this morning. Get somebody else here that you can relate to and pray with them. But I want us to turn to one another quickly and just pray for our leadership in our country at a time such as this, to pray for our households, to cover it. You know, one thing that I've felt very strongly God saying to us when the missions team came is at first we felt, let them pray for us, you know, as we experience some onslaught from the enemy. And I felt God clearly saying to us, no, it's not their responsibility. Now, we need to come together and to trust God for our households, for our families, and to cover one another in relationship as we journey together. And this morning is, you know, for me, and I'm ending off with this theme. This morning, I know that over the summer break, we're going to go into different topics. But what I want to tell you, I want to end off with this theme this morning because I know that it's relevant to what God wants to do in our midst. We're going to have to get this right in order to see mighty manifestations of God happening around us. But it's going to start at a very small level, where we start with the people that we love first, and it starts to grow beyond that, to the household of faith, to the priority circle beyond the household of faith, to the people in this community, where we will need to pray for churches in this area. Chrissy helped me to get that right. We're going to pray for other bodies in this area, and then we're going to pray for the city. But we must get this right and trust God to bring us to an understanding of what He's saying to us in a practical way, but in such a way that we can look beyond having church and church members, because that's not where I'm at this morning. If that's what you're thinking, I'm not at that place. I want us to know that God has a plan for this nation. The only way that we can get there is to start where we are at. We can't even unify whatever we have here. How are we going to unify a nation? So let's trust God. It's God's business. It's Him speaking to us at this time. We don't know how that's going to pan out. But what I can say to you is we're going to be committed to what He's saying to us. And we're going to step out and pray for this nation. Okay. So turn to somebody that you trust. If it's your family, please keep focused with your family. And pray for your family's protection as well, and take ownership of the sphere of influence that you have at this stage. Amen. Thanks, guys.